Today's reading is from John chapter 10, 22 to 30. The time came for the festival of dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple, walking in the covered porch named for Solomon. The Jewish opposition circled around him and asked, "How long will you test our patience? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, but you don't believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never die, and no one will snatch them from my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Holy words for holy people.
If you really pay attention, you can see miracles happen all around you. If you want to see a miracle, go to a little league baseball or softball game. Because eventually, one of the kids is going to come out of the dugout or stick their face through a little hole in the dugout wall and say, "Mom, Mom, 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 Mom," and the right mom will respond. Because the kid has no idea that half the people at the field are named Mom. Somehow, Mom will always recognize the sound of her child's voice. "Mom, Mom!" "What?" "Will you give me some sunflower seeds?" "Yeah." And then Mom goes to the concession stand and gets sunflower seeds. "Mom, Mom, Mom!" They just know. We don't all have that skill or that talent or that attribute or whatever it is. Because there was a time at a little league baseball game that my son was going, "Dad, Dad, 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 Willie Duell." "Oh, hey." Figured out that he had to call me by name to get me to respond. Didn't recognize him. Everybody here is named Dad. Somebody's yelling for Dad, you know? But Mom always knows. I've probably told you all this story before, but my mom is a ninja. She's a retired ninja these days. You know, she's kind of on the disabled list. You know, her kids are grown, so she doesn't have to be a ninja. She is a ninja, and her weapon is a rubber flip-flop. All summer long, when we were kids, Mom would pack up my brother and me and a friend of hers, and we would take little day trips. We occasionally like take off to Nashville, Tennessee, and spend a couple of days, or we had a camper by a lake. We would stay at the camper for a little bit, and we would just take a trip somewhere to go shopping, or a trip somewhere to a water slide, or something fun. All summer long, we were all packed up in the car, Mom and her friend in the front seat, me and my brother in the back seat, and neither one of us apparently could stay on our side. Mom, he won't stay on his side. And of course, you know, the back seat of a car has places for three people to sit, you know, two comfortably and one squeezed in the middle. And you've got these little lines here designating. And we would have an argument over which line marked my side and which line marked, you know, how that marked my side versus your side. Because we both wanted the line farther away from us to be the border. All right, from here to there, this is my territory here. And you stay over there, that's your territory. No, that's not the line. That's the line. And then once we would decide on the line, I wouldn't stay on my side. I really wouldn't. I would start walking a little guy. Just go right over to the line till Scott's watching, and he would touch it and cross over. Mom! And my mom, while driving the car, could reach down, grab the flip-flop off of her left foot, reach into the back seat, whack my leg, whack Scott's leg, and put the shoe back on and never swerve. So we spent all summer with these little red marks on our knees. She would thump us with that flip-flop. Man, she was a ninja. Her tongue would stick out. Knock it off! And if I told that story in front of her, she'd say, yep, that's true. Never saw anybody quite so skilled at that. But she also had other ninja skills, like she could always tell when we weren't lying or weren't telling the truth. And she always knew when we were up to something. And I figured that one out. Later on in life, I figured out that the kids are up to something if it gets really quiet. If they're making noise, they don't care if they get caught doing what they're doing. They're not doing anything bad. If they're really quiet, they're trying really hard not to get caught. No, we don't want them to hear what we're doing. Always in trouble when it got really quiet. Moms can be pretty awesome. Mother's Day can be a wonderful, wonderful experience for an awful lot of us. Mother's Day can be a complicated experience for a lot of us. Mother's Day can be a day that's tinged with grief. Whether we've lost our mom, whether we are a mom who has lost a child, whether we have had a strained relationship or a broken relationship with our mothers. There are people who have had lifelong struggles with their mothers and then forgiveness later in life. Or they could have a relationship that was good, and then as mom began to slip away, it got more and more complicated and difficult. We all have baggage that we bring to the table of this experience. And it is important for us on a day like this to honor that. To honor that your relationship may have been wonderful, to honor that your relationship may have been complicated, to honor that your relationship may be colored with grief. And to honor that in others. Because, well, That's where the healing happens. The healing happens when we name it. The healing happens when we own it and we claim it. The healing happens when we take a good, realistic, hard look at where those relationships are, where they have been, and to not live in some sort of denial about it. It is important to honor whatever your feelings are about Mother's Day. Nothing good comes from denial. Nothing good comes from suppressing it. Good things do come. Healing does come with owning it and naming it and claiming it. And so for Mother's Day this year, we get this story of Jesus as the Good Shepherd who recognizes the sound of his own sheep's voice, or the sheep recognize his voice. I confess that when I am making decisions in my life, when I have done something that I should not have done, it is not usually Jesus' voice I hear in my head. It is most frequently my mom's voice. If I've made a bad decision, I generally hear my mom's voice inside of my head responding. Sometimes it's my dad's voice. And an interesting thing, my mom and dad had a gift, well, they still do. They have a gift for compassion. And they have a gift for knowing when to say when. Because so many times I found myself in trouble. So many times that I found myself in trouble. That they said, well, I think you've punished yourself enough. Now let's fix it. Now let's fix it. I learned some life skills fixing stuff that I had messed up with my mom and dad's guidance. I learned how to clean glass off of a, you know, broken glass off of a linoleum floor because mom walked me through the process. I learned how to patch holes in drywall because I messed up drywall. And dad showed me how to fix it. Not because he was interested in showing me how to fix it, but because that's the consequence of your actions, son. Got to be more careful with things. I'll tell you the story. This is the stupidest confession ever. This is the stupidest confession you'll ever hear in a sermon. When I was a kid, a whole bunch of us decided that we liked Kung Fu Theater. You know, we got cable TV and we're watching Kung Fu Theater, and then we had decided that it would be the coolest thing ever to have Chinese throwing stars like the Kung Fu guys in the movies. And there was an army surplus store in our hometown that sold them. So everybody had them. And we would show them off to each other. And then my brother figured out that they stick to the wall in the bedroom pretty good if you throw them. So our walls looked like somebody had a machine gun BB gun. And my dad saw it, and I think he may have cried. Because he hung all that drywall. And so we learned how to mix up mud and spackle and to patch it and to sand it and to paint it, you know, prime it and paint it. And we gained good life skills out of being stupid. We also learned that the best discipline is fixing what you broke, taking care of what you messed up. Sometimes, you know, I can hear my mom speak to me. And I think our job is to try and learn to hear Jesus speak to us. What would Jesus be saying to us right now? What would Jesus be saying to us? And how would we, as his sheep, recognize the sound of his voice? I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it over and over until we've really got it. Jesus spent the vast majority of his ministry going to church leaders and teachers of the law and saying, hey, all those people you think are sinners are mine, and they're God's, and I love them. All of these people you're trying to keep out of the temple, they're God's. And they're mine, and I love them, and God loves them. And Paul followed in Jesus' footsteps, going around establishing churches and then having to write letters to those churches saying, hey, all of those Gentiles that you want to kick out of your temple belong to God, and they belong in your synagogue, they belong in your assembly. All the people you're trying to keep out are the people I want in. I do believe that Jesus is speaking to us now, as a church, as people who call ourselves followers of Christ. Folks, the church has tried to keep out for so long, belong. The folks the church has tried to exclude for so long belong here. They are ours. They belong to God. They belong with us and among us. So on this Mother's Day, we honor all of our complicated feelings, all of our mixed up stuff. Many of us hear the good guiding voices of our mothers. And I pray that we hear the good guiding voice of Jesus calling us to do better, calling us to be better, calling us to love better. May this Mother's Day fill your heart, your home, your circle of influence, and our world with love and joy. Amen and amen. As we ponder all of these things, let's sing, Good Shepherd, We Are Not Alone. That's all.